Hi, welcome to the audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Ballman. This week's Gay USA was recorded in New York City on February 7, 2018. Want to remind you about our website. It's gayusatv.org. That's gayusatv.org. There's lots of information about the show that you may not know about if you haven't visited the website before. So check it out. That's gayusatv.org. Right now, here's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum with this week's LGBT News. Enjoy.
And we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And we start with some bad news, more reason to be ashamed of being an American these days. The president has refused to let the United States join with our allies in the Organization of American States in support of marriage equality.
Just chipping away at our dignity and self-respect and rights in little ways. I mean, we're retaining it, but he's going after us. And similarly, the Republican National Committee has passed a vicious anti-transgender resolution.
Mike Pence wants to meet with his gay skater critic at the Olympics, but Adam Rippon says, I gotta practice.
There are actually encouraging developments in Georgia, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Missouri.
That's good, because some of our viewers are sick of all the bad news.
As if we're not?
Yeah. The Episcopal Diocese of Washington, D.C., has voted to avoid gendered pronouns for their God.
We've been following the case of Abel Cedeno in the Bronx here, who is accused of manslaughter for stabbing a couple of students who were attacking him. We regard it as self-defense, but he's been charged. And we have now a video of the incident that shows him defending himself. We'll show you that.
And we're also going to show you a mother's reaction to her son coming out at 11.
We like this one.
Not 11 p.m., 11 years old.
There's a twist.
Video at 11.
Stay tuned. There is trouble, back to the bad news, Indonesia, Turkey, South Africa, and Chile.
But the former Australian Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, who led the unsuccessful campaign against marriage equality there, was invited to his lesbian sister's wedding, and he went.
And we have a good news update on a story from last week about the Publix supermarkets.
Yes.
Stay tuned for that.
We do. And
age
news.
But we start with our fearless leader, Mr. Trump.
So we're a part of the Organization for American States. I forget when that got started, but I learned about it in grade school.
Well, there are eight countries, you know, Canada, Mexico, the United States, and a few major ones in Central and South America.
Yes.
And we've told you about how the Inter-American Court of Human Rights issued
order.
A decision, an order, that a couple dozen countries in Central and South America legalized same-sex marriage. So now the Organization of American States, which is a little more exclusive group of bigger countries, has passed a resolution supporting marriage equality.
Well the group that did it is, we are apparently part of the LGBTI core group at the Organization for American States.
Well, because
I guess this is a remnant from when we were a democracy.
You may remember a president named Obama.
Yes.
I think this has to do with him.
And so anyway, we're the only ones who won't sign on to this support of this decision, even though we have marriage equality is the law of the land. And you may remember President Trump saying right after the election, well, that's settled. I'm okay with that. It's settled.
Surely you didn't believe that, surely.
No. But so the ones who signed on are Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Canada, Colombia, Mexico, and Uruguay.
And not all those have marriage equality yet, but some do. So this statement from the OAS supported same-sex marriage legalization and transgender people, and the United States has refused to sign on.
Well, and that, you know, and that gets into the heinous thing that the Republican National Committee did this past week when they passed that. Where is this resolution that they passed? Yes, they passed a resolution saying that being transgender is a disqualifying psychological and physical condition.
This is about military service.
They're urging the Department of Justice to go to the Supreme Court and defend the military trans ban that has been stopped by the lower courts.
This is the Republican National Committee run by Mitt Romney's niece.
Yes.
And
who I think Trump says, stop using that Romney name in your name.
Yes, yes, that's been eliminated. And meanwhile, the Department of Education is pushing a big omnibus education funding bill through Congress that allows discrimination by religious schools on a very broad basis.
Well, there was just a...
You get federal funding, but you get to discriminate anyway because you have religious principles.
And a group of 700 parents of transgender children wrote Betsy DeVos a letter condemning her failure to protect trans students.
None of which will get in the way of the administration's feelings. But evidently, Vice President Pence's feelings were hurt by Olympic skater Adam Rippon.
You think I'm mean? You think I'm a bigot?
Oh, no, no, no. I don't support conversion therapy. Just because I said funding should go to programs to change people's sexuality doesn't mean I support conversion therapy.
And Adam Rippon, who is one of the our gay Olympic skaters, figure skaters, has been very critical of the policies of the United States and Pence, but of Pence leading the delegation of the Americans over there in South Korea. Very outspoken about it, and joined by Gus Kenworthy, who was the...
Who's been all over the place, including the Ellen Show, continuing to rip Pence and Trump.
So the staff of Pence reached out to Adam Rippon, and he said no. He said, I've got to get ready for the Olympics. Maybe later we'll talk. Yeah. He had said that beforehand. If you want to talk, we'll talk later. We're not talking now. I got skating to do.
I was happy to see that Lindsey Vonn says she will not go to the White House post-Olympics.
Well, you know, somebody...
And the Eagles are lining up to not go to the White House.
I think it was when we... Where did I hear this? That we were at... Was it at Liz Smith's memorial service? I heard it somewhere. It's about the fact that Trump, you know, loved to be photographed with celebrities all the time.
Yes.
He would push himself in, you know, and, hey, come on, we want to take a picture. And now no celebrity wants to be seen with him.
Yeah.
Basically, a few, maybe. Ted.
What's Nugent.
His name? Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of the Eagles, since I brought this up, there was a funny story in the wake of the Super Bowl about how some Philadelphia fans in Minneapolis were looking around for a bar to watch the game in because, you know, not everyone can afford the money to actually be at the Super Bowl. And so they're looking around, they see a bar with the name Eagle in it, the Eagle Bolt Bar, and they think, oh, well, we got to watch the game there. Well, of course, it's a gay leather bar. But they went in, they had a happy time, everybody was friendly, everybody got along, and, you know, that's where they watched the game.
Their eagles shall lie down with our eagles.
And there's some controversy over some of the commercials in the Super Bowl broadcast. Coke did a commercial that included, it was all about love and acceptance and diversity and included some non-binary people and some same-sex couples. And, of course, there's some right-wing backlash over that. But, you know, it was a nice, pretty commercial.
All right.
Other political news.
Well, other Trump news.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we're really appalled about the fact, and we have a picture of him, that the United States is deporting a guy named Richard Corrales to Venezuela.
Ricardo.
Ricardo. I do have Ricardo here, and I just didn't read my own writing. He's HIV positive, and he told ICE officials that they are deporting him to his death because drugs for PWAs are running out there and people are dying daily in Venezuela. He's ordered to leave by the end of February. Now, he came here in 2003 to escape political persecution, and he was granted asylum. But he got into some legal trouble in 2009. He got 30 days for possessing a small quantity of meth in Miami Beach. But his asylum wasn't revoked until police raided a house that he was visiting, even though no charges were filed against him.
Well, it's this now standard case of how he had, you know, all this was transparent and open, and he was checking in with ICE regularly.
Yeah.
And people go and they check in with ICE every few months, as they're required to do, and the government says, here you are. Okay, we're picking you up. We're deporting
Goodbye.
You. Goodbye. They don't even... These are not people who are evading the law. These are not people who are trying to disappear. These are people who are doing right, who have cleaned themselves up. He's totally cleaned. And they're just saying, oh, we have you right here on our doorstep. We're going to grab you and send you away. And yes, he's HIV positive, and Venezuela has very little treatment available these days, as their government and country are in chaos.
Right.
So between the discrimination he faces, being gay and HIV positive, and the lack of treatment, he is walking into a potential death sentence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. I mentioned this sort of at the top of the show, but The Economist magazine has something called their intelligence unit, and they just downgraded the United States from a full democracy to a flawed democracy in the same category as Poland, Mongolia, and Italy, and about 45% of the rest of the world. There are two more steps down, and we're working on this. The next one is a hybrid regime, and then the last one is authoritarian regime.
Well, that is Trump's goal, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah.
It'll be...
No. All right. Meanwhile, in other political news, we had been anticipating the HRC, Human Rights Campaign, New York dinner this past weekend, and sure enough, there were some powerhouse speeches there by Majority Senate Leader Chuck Schumer, Minority, I was engaging in wishful thinking, Senate Leader Chuck Schumer, who talked about the need for us to support Tammy Baldwin in her reelection campaign in Wisconsin because the Republicans have really targeted her as being a vulnerable candidate
in
Wisconsin. I can't remember who's running against her. They have someone, and don't forget, Wisconsin went for Trump, and
Very narrowly, and we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, but Democrats are in trouble in Wisconsin, and as an out lesbian, Tammy certainly has been elected there several times to the House and then the Senate.
The
and
first
locally
out lesbian
before.
Senator.
But she could be on shaky ground, and we do need to pay attention to that race. And Senator Gillibrand got up and gave a rip-roaring speech about talking about the trans student in one of her son's classes, talking about...
She's our senator here in New York.
Her pride in having supported the elimination of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military and the need to support trans troops now.
She didn't talk about the elimination of Al Franken from the Senate. Well, I'm just saying.
I think she gets a raw deal on that.
No. I said she has taken the lead in being the Democrat who's going to stand up to Democrats who engage in this kind of behavior as well.
Yes. She talked about religious discrimination by the Department of Justice. She talked about Gorsuch and as a bad guy and the need to support the Dreamers and the need to elect a Democratic Congress to pass the Equality Act.
Was she well received?
She was well received.
Of course, HRC also had Governor Cuomo there, our governor, and they jumped the gun and they endorsed him for re-election before a lot of the other candidates had even a chance to get into the race, including Cynthia Nixon, who also spoke at the dinner, who was contemplating a run for governor because our governor is not strong enough, especially on education issues.
Right, that's her
specialty. We can name a lot of other things. So they gave her some kind of an award.
Yeah.
To compensate.
But Cuomo got up and made all sorts of promises about banning the gay panic defense in New York. He made it sound like we would be leaders on that. California did that some time ago.
He always says New York is a leader when it's not.
Yeah.
But he also wants to ban state agencies. He did say he banned state agencies and authorities from doing business with companies that promote or tolerate discrimination. You give millions of dollars in state funds to anti-gay religious groups to run to do contracts. Are you kidding?
And
they know. And we asked them about this. We sent them a note, and they got no response.
Yeah, so we're not very happy about that. Meanwhile, there is a dispute over the Amazon search for a new second headquarters in this country. They've announced 20 finalist cities, but 11 of those cities are in states that do not have non-discrimination rules. So that's now a political fight. And the cities themselves often have non-discrimination rules, but the states trump those, excuse the expression. And the impact of Amazon coming in is going to be statewide, not just in these cities. And so there is a new campaign underway called NoGayNoWay.com to give you the list of the candidate cities and whether those states have protections
Have a state like Wisconsin, and we're going to talk about this, where they're, you know, they were the first state in the nation to pass a sexual orientation non-discrimination law, but they are in the process of passing a law that says localities can't have transgender rights because we don't have them at the state level.
Right. So you can go to NoGayNoWay.com to get up to date on this Amazon campaign. And by the way, the HRC dinner speeches are all available on the HRC website at hrc.org if you want to check in on Cuomo or Schumer or Gillibrand or Cynthia Nixon. I think that's up there, too.
We got some good news from Georgia, where they overhauled their adoption laws, and they did not include the religious exemption clause, the thing that would let the religious groups off the hook.
They deleted it. It was too controversial. The Georgia legislature was debating this update of their adoption laws, and some people wanted this religious exemption for, like Catholic charities, and others didn't, and they couldn't solve it, and so they took it out of the bill, which was fantastic.
And that's how you get things done.
Yeah.
In Illinois, there's a primary opponent to the Republican governor, Bruce Rauner. Now, Bruce tries to act like he's okay on gay stuff and everything, but this woman is running such an offensive ad targeting his alleged support for transgender people, undocumented immigrants, and abortion. Her name is Jean Ives. She's more of a traditional Republican. She's a former state party chair. The former state party chair, Pat Brady, called her a bigot.
Well, meanwhile, the ACLU is suing the Department of Correction in Illinois for mistreatment of trans prisoners.
In North Carolina, the Republican author of HB2, which caused all that trouble for us, and then they passed an amended version, which is also bad. This guy's name is Senator Dan Bishop. He's being challenged in a Republican primary by a pro-gay Republican, Beth Monahan, who apparently has a gay son.
Yeah, but I'm disappointed that they're backtracking on the redistricting there. That they, the court said you had to rewrite all the districts in North Carolina, but then that was overturned and
That's a federal case?
I think so.
Yeah, because in Pennsylvania there's a state case. There's a big development this week. Pennsylvania, they brought the redistricting just to the state court under the state constitution, and the Supreme Court, and they won. And they said, no, this is partisan gerrymandering. You can't do it. You got to redraw the lines before the next election. The Supreme Court this week said they will not review that. Now, they're not supposed to review decisions that are made unless they're egregious. So what do the Republicans want to do now that they're being told they have to redo their lines? They want to impeach all the Supreme Court justices who voted for this. They are moving.
They're shameless.
They are moving to do so.
They're relentless. They don't give up. Watch out. The ACLU is also suing in Alabama because several transgender citizens of Alabama went to change their gender marker on their driver's licenses, and they were told they could not do that without proof of surgery. And that is crazy and against ethical standards of all sorts of organizations and associations. And so the ACLU is suing to try to eliminate that requirement.
You know, it makes you wonder if Russia really does run this country, because we're going to report on
Russia
developments on this in Russia.
Yeah. Makes them look like the liberals. Okay. Well, there is good news from California on this front, where a trans woman in L.A. who tried to use a ladies' room at a Walgreens and was rejected by the local employee has forced a change of Walgreens policy. They have apologized for that and announced that, in fact, they have issued a policy change to all their stores saying that people should be allowed to use the restroom that conforms with their lived gender identity.
The big union in New York, it's called Unite Here, 200,000 members, they now have an inclusive transgender benefits system, which pays for gender confirmation surgery and all kinds of health things for all of their members. Not, it used to just be for the union staff.
And a new study out of the University of Minnesota says that they surveyed several thousand students in Minnesota and found that 3% of them identify as transgender or gender nonconforming, which is a pretty big number. And the Victory Fund, which supports LGBT candidates for office, says that there are more transgender candidates than ever, especially with the success of Danica Rome and others last year in the elections, more and more are coming out to run.
You know, when gay rights was first, gay and lesbian rights were first being fought, I mean, it brings a lot of people out to run for office. We've had waves of that, and now we're having it with the transgender community, and it's great.
And with women, of course, nationally.
Yes.
By the way, the Victory Fund has moved its headquarters to Houston now that it's being run by Anise Parker. Well, why not?
In the heartland.
Yeah.
Or whatever that is down there, deep in the heart of Texas.
I fear we buried the lead here, which is the Bakersfield, California cake case.
Well, okay, let's talk about it.
Yes. This is the Tastries Bakery, whose owner objected to making a wedding cake for a same-sex couple and said, you know,
our business is God's business. We work for him. That's
really?
Her quote.
Does he collect taxes?
That's her quote.
Yeah. And is he a he? But so this all ended up in court, and not unlike other cases we've seen. But now,
slow down. This is Kern County. It's a right-wing county.
It is.
And one judge said you're violating her First Amendment rights. He also said that a tire shop can't refuse to sell tires to gay couples, even though they may use them to commit sodomy someplace, you know.
I mean, I don't think that was in the decision.
No, but you got to think these things through if you really want to do God's will.
Well, that possibility does exist, that someone could make that argument.
The automobile was responsible for the sexual revolution.
Well, the cake maker says that it's not that I wouldn't sell them a cake, but it has to be one that's been sitting in the case for 6 weeks and is stale and disgusting. I'm not making a new cake, because that is an artistic expression that I cannot in good conscience perform for these disgusting perverts. So the judge says, bought this argument about artistic expression, and the problem is that this is the question that's before the Supreme Court now with the Masterpiece Cake Shop case that has had oral arguments and will produce a decision.
Probably
we
in
expect.
Late June.
Yes. So heaven forbid that the Supreme Court should take as its model this decision from the California judge.
Right.
We'll see.
Okay. Well, as long as then there's the Illinois case of Marsha Wetzel. Now, she was discriminated against in a senior living facility by other residents. She was being harassed and treated horribly, and they said
physically attacked.
This was the Glen St. Andrew facility, and in Illinois, and you know, she said they said they weren't obligated to keep her free of harassment. And
the nursing home says it is not our job to police the behavior of the residents. We cannot be held liable for harassment and name-calling and physical attack by residents against each other.
Sounds like the excuses all the school systems make about bullying.
Absolutely.
So anyway, the lower court dismissed her case on January 18th, and Lambda is appealing to the Seventh Circuit.
Well, since we're talking about attacks, should we get into the case in the Bronx?
Yeah, we've been telling you about this case. This was, it attracted so much attention because it was the first death in school in a fight in 25 years. So this gay student, Abel Cedeno, his story was that, I've been bullied since the sixth grade, but I'm in this class and people are throwing things at my head. So we're going to set this up for you because it's going to show you the video of the attack, parental discretion advised, because it is rather emotional. So people in the classroom are throwing things at him. He leaves the classroom, he comes back, and he says, and they do it again. So he says, who's doing this to me? And his story is Matthew McCree, this other student, stands up and says, it was me. What are you going to do about it? And then Matthew, who's challenging him, charges, this is what you're going to see on the tape, charges across the room, he's in the white T-shirt, and starts pummeling him. And that's what we're going to show you now. And in slow motion after this.
So welcome to the New York City school system. Yeah, so Matthew in the white shirt is attacking Abel in the pink shirt.
Yes.
Abel pulls out a knife.
Yes.
To defend himself. This is our interpretation.
And in the course of that, slashes Matthew in such a way, who's standing there in the white T-shirt, that he falls
white
and dies
shirt, yeah.
in the white shirt. White shirt. And
Abel slashed another kid too,
who also came in to punch him in the face in the course of that thing. So, I mean, this evidence was not available to the grand jury when they indicted Abel. It came out afterwards.
And people lied about what was going on in that classroom.
The other kid who was slashed said, "Oh no, my friend Matthew stood up and said, 'Oh, it was me. I'm sorry.'" You know, he doesn't look like he's saying he's sorry to Abel when he attacks him. The testimony of the other kids in the class is that, here's what went down. It's horrifying, and it's a tragedy for all the families. But what you just witnessed is a gay bashing.
Yeah.
And a kid who defended himself. We don't advocate violence, but he defended himself. And we know a lot of kids in the New York City schools, probably elsewhere around there, who carry knives all the time to protect themselves just to get home.
Well, it is complicated, and we certainly don't want it to end up this way.
No.
But we also don't want it.
He could have ended up dead on the floor, too, Abel, in this case.
Absolutely. And if not on the floor there, then later somewhere else.
Because Abel's fear was that he knew these kids to be gang members. By the way, the victim's, in this case, mother, or I say victim, but the kid who died, his mother says he was not a gang member, but there's plenty of evidence that he was. And that's why he thought he might have even had a gun.
And the gangs are evidently very, very active in threatening everybody in this case. And so everything is getting screwed up.
Right.
It's a great tragedy.
Right.
And why we need to stop this kind of behavior much earlier on.
That's the good, if you want, the good part about the case is that it's put a spotlight on how much bullying there is in the schools. And they've certainly taken steps. They closed that school, which was in chaos. But they've really... there are a lot of people getting involved in the case who want to change the whole school system and the way they do the stuff with bullying.
I went out to Brooklyn last week and talked to a high school class, a very smart class and a social justice class, and I was impressed by how much the students knew and their attitudes. But they still had some very basic questions that needed answering. But it was heartwarming to find some better knowledge and behavior.
Well, there are good schools in the New York City schools and elsewhere where kids are people are treated with respect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, I don't know if you saw the story this week about the kids at a basketball game who kept shouting racist slurs at the other team the whole time. When they do that in a basketball game, you ought to stop the game and say, "We're giving the game to the other team. Goodbye, everybody. Go home. That's it."
Well, in some soccer stadiums, they've eliminated the fans altogether when they've gotten too violent or too racist in their bullying, and they do. They kick the audience out, and that ought to include these kinds of situations.
Right. Okay.
Well, meanwhile, on a slightly less violent note, but also not nice, in Alabama, at Alexandria High School, they had some kind of talent show, and at the end of the talent show, one girl, not in the talent, I don't know whether she was in it or not, but she asked her girlfriend to the prom.
And That's nice.
Very nice. Everybody's happy. She said yes, all good. Well, the girl who did the asking and a friend of hers who helped her have been suspended.
But not for lesbianism, for rebelliousness.
But there were other prom proposals in the same context, even a marriage proposal once.
But that's not rebellious. They're rebelling against... Oh, I think they even said this is a Christian school. It's not a Christian school. It's a public school.
Well, I'm happy to report that some of the students are talking about boycotting the prom now because they're so enraged by this.
Speaking of Christians...
We're hoping for a good update.
In Indiana, there's an anti-LGBT pastor, Gary Evans, and his wife... Her name is Gay. They're both in their early 70s in Rushville. They were arrested after several girls under the age of 10 told their parents that Pastor Evans lured them with candy, that's what the story says, to his office and touched them inappropriately. But this guy made bond somehow, and then he was re-jailed for storming his son's property because the son was not supporting him in this. There's a jury trial in March.
Is this what they mean by the middle America, that we are not in touch with enough?
Well, we had some good news from Missouri this week where, you know, there were some special elections for state legislative seats, and Democrats gained enormously in all of them, didn't win all of them, but won one of them that Trump had won by 28 points.
Excellent. Well, as long as you mentioned the pastor, let's get to a little religious news. Here's a good story. In Hoboken, New Jersey, at St. Matthew Trinity Lutheran Church this coming Sunday, they're going to have a pastor renaming service because the pastor is a trans man who will become Peter Beeson. We have a picture.
Currently, until the renaming ceremony, this is Rose Beeson, but will become Peter.
And this is an Evangelical Lutheran Church of America church, St. Matthew Trinity in Hoboken. If you want to attend this service at 10:30 on Sunday, you can go to their website at stmatthewtrinity.org to get details of when and where.
And the bishop, Tracy Bartholomew of the New Jersey Synod, is going to preach.
Excellent. And also, good news from the Washington, D.C. Episcopal Diocese, where they have decided they are not going to use gendered pronouns for God.
They're going to try to avoid them. It can be difficult sometimes. They want to utilize the expansive language for God from the rich sources of feminine, masculine, and non-binary imagery for God found in the scripture and tradition. And they're also encouraging parishes to make gender-specific facilities gender-neutral.
But I think my favorite...
Just like Walgreens.
Okay. And the American Bar Association has broadened its support of non-discrimination rules for sexual orientation and gender identity and has explicitly said that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 64 should be interpreted under sex discrimination to include sexual orientation and gender identity. That is a big deal.
And while we're still on transgender in Fresno, there was a 215 murder of a trans woman, someone who was transitioning, 66-year-old Kenton Haggard. They finally, he was stabbed to death. They finally arrested somebody in this case. It took an awful long time.
Look, they're still trying to solve Natalie Wood's death.
Most of them are not solved.
Well, let's move to my favorite story of the week, which is the there's this woman who posts a lot of videos online, and she's known as the Truth Bomb Mom, and I haven't looked at the rest of her videos, so I don't know
if she's what a good witch or a bad witch.
Yes, exactly. But she posted a video about her son coming out to her, and this is quite fascinating, so we thought you'd want to take a look at this.
One afternoon, no different than any other, I'm sitting in the living room, and my son, who was 10 at the time, walks in, and he looks all serious, and he says, Mom, we need to talk. And even looked a little nervous. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, maybe something happened at school. Maybe he got in trouble. And then he said, I need you to put your computer away and I need you to really listen because this is really important. So at this point, I'm getting a little worried. Like, what is going on? Because my son was usually much more spontaneous, you know, and quick to just share how he felt about stuff. So I put my computer away and he sits down next to me and he says, I've been doing a lot of thinking and I need to tell you something. So at this point, I am freaking out inside. I'm like, what is happening? This is obviously a very, very, very big deal. I'm painting the worst case scenarios because we moms are really good at just worrying and blowing everything out of proportion. But on the outside, I'm staying calm. Yeah, buddy, let's talk. Because that's the only way my kid is really going to open up to me, right? He's obviously trying to figure out how he's going to say this. And he takes a deep breath and says, Mom, I've been doing a lot of thinking. And I'm ready to come out of the closet. I am straight. So I'm like, this is funny. Like, this is really cute and funny. My first instinct is to just laugh. But then I look at him and I realize he's serious. This isn't a joke to him. And so he needs me to be serious too. Because see, in my 10-year-old's mind, this made complete sense. He knows that when someone's gay, they come out of the closet and they usually announce it first to the people closest to them. And so he figured the same rule applied to straight people. So I gave him a big hug and I told him how honored I was that he told me first. And then I said, buddy, I just need you to know that I would love you gay or straight because that's not what makes someone lovable. What makes someone lovable is their heart and their actions. And then I thanked him for opening my eyes to the type of world I want to live in. A world where every kid plays by the same rules and we don't assume anything. We listen to our children and we love them no matter what. I myself have never publicly come out to you guys, so I'm gonna take the opportunity to do so now. I am straight and I hope you can still love me.
Sweet indeed.
I do too.
It's all about not assuming. And when we raise this, people do think it's a joke. You know, stop assuming that, you know, all the little girls are going to swoon over the male star. It could be the boys too.
We are in a transitional point in history, and we hope to get to a point where equality and respect for all means that you don't make assumptions about people and you wait to hear what they have to say and ask them questions that are non-judgmental and non-assumptive. Now, this came to our attention because it was written up in the Huffington Post by a gay activist or gay writer who objected to this and said, this demeans the process and the pain of coming out by LGBT people. And we certainly, look, we've been through it. We understand the fear and the difficulties, but if you imagine a world where there are no assumptions and where everybody does have to go through a process of figuring out who they are and then discussing it with their loved ones, that is a way to get everybody beyond that fear and that stigma.
At least she didn't say you're only 10 years old. You know, take it easy. And this is what, of course, we get told when we're 25.
Maybe straight people should be told that. But I thought it was tremendously enlightened to get to that point of understanding that it was a great thing for that kid to figure out that he needed to figure out who he is.
Well, I do think back to our early days, and I didn't get this, but I mean, people would say, "Oh, maybe you're just going through a phase." You know, I don't. You know.
Well, my mother's reaction was, "What a waste!" Really.
What, of a wedding dress or something?
The fact that I would not be available to some man would be a throwing away.
It will be harder for students in Indiana because the Senate there has passed a bill overwhelmingly to require opt-in for sex ed as opposed to the current opt-out. It also requires teaching abstinence as the standard. And these are the kinds of things that will keep people in Mike Pence's Indiana ignorant.
Moving on to international news.
Please.
All right. Well, going down the list. In El Salvador's Supreme Court has, on procedural grounds, blocked immediate approval of same-sex marriage as ordered by the Inter-American Court on Human Rights.
Right now, they only recognize marriage between a man and a woman who are born that way, is in the language of the law.
And same-sex marriage and this ruling have been at the center of a current presidential election in Costa Rica. They are headed for a runoff between the two top contenders, but the person who won the most votes in the first round is a right-winger who is against same-sex marriage. He's an evangelical Christian singer.
But he got 25% of the vote, and the next guy got, from the current government, got about 22%, so there's all those other percentages. I think this Christian guy may have topped out. Maybe I'm engaging in wishful thinking.
We'll see.
Trump got elected in America.
So I've heard. The runoff is April 1st, so we'll follow that. And in Chile, an anti-marriage president is taking over on March 11th, but the court there has already mandated same-sex marriage, so we're hoping that that will go into effect, even though the new president is against it.
Well, as long as we're talking about marriage, maybe we should run the picture of the sister of anti-gay former Prime Minister Tony Abbott.
Of Australia.
Australia. He led the campaign against same-sex marriage there, and she finally got married to her longtime partner. Her name is Christine Foster, and she married...
Forster,
and she married Virginia Flitcroft. And Tony said who really condemns same-sex marriage. He's a big Catholic.
He's traveled all over the world to condemn it, including hanging out with the right-wingers here who are evangelists.
He told people on the way in, I'm very happy for them, and I'm looking forward to having a new sister-in-law. Well,
in other words, you're a big hypocrite.
You could have had one a lot earlier if you had passed same-sex marriage when you were prime minister.
Oh, my God.
It was approved December 7th in the parliament, and it was approved by the people, 60%, and 75% of Abbott's constituency approved it.
What was the point, Tony? And then in Jersey, the Isle of Jersey in the channel between Britain and France, the English Channel, thank you, which is a UK dependency, they have voted for marriage. Their parliament has voted for marriage. I saw one report that said 43-1 and another that said 42-1.
And they defeated a license to discriminate amendment.
On religious grounds, they 40-5, they got rid of that.
In Nova Scotia, the mayor of Cape Breton, a guy named Cecil Clark, came out when he got threatened with exposure about being gay, and he's running to lead the Progressive Conservative Party there, and he was very well received.
Bad news. In Indonesia,
bunch of things.
Yeah, Google is caving into government demands. They removed the Blued gay dating app from their online store. That's pretty disgusting.
Well, they're on the verge of banning all sex outside of marriage, which would criminalize gay sex and most other sex. You would get 5 years for extramarital sex. They also want to criminalize defamation of the president. Are you taking notes, Donald?
The Ministry of Health declared homosexuality a mental disorder, part of the rationale for passing this law.
And in Aceh province, Muslims were protesting the fact that that there is an investigation into the police roundup of trans women that we talked about last week.
In Turkey, an LGBT activist and leader...
Oh, sorry, before you leave Indonesia,
go ahead.
The UN Human Rights Chief, his name is Hussein, he's part of the royal family of Jordan, he raised the issue of all this stuff with the president of Indonesia.
Wouldn't that be nice if our people raised issues like that?
Come here. No. Come here and raise it with our president. He lives right across town from you, from the UN. You're in the same neighborhood. Although Donald doesn't come to New York hardly at all anymore.
For good reason. In Turkey, an LGBT activist leader, Ali Erol, was arrested. He's now been released. They had no reason for announced reason for arresting him, although the suspicion is that he was too active on social media with pro-LGBT stuff.
In South Africa, police in a town called Pieter Maritzburg found two men having sex in a car. And they filmed them while hurling homophobic slurs at them and posted it on social media to ruin their lives. One is a teacher, and he's being mocked by students and colleagues. The other man's family has disowned him. Nice. This is a country where sexual orientation is protected in the Constitution. Mm.
And in Romania, there was a screening of the film BPM, Beats Per Minute, which was a top winner at Cannes. It's the film about ACT UP Paris and AIDS activism. And suddenly a bunch of right-wing thugs interrupted the screening, yelling homophobic slurs. And they're very scared in Romania about crackdowns by the government and by these right-wing
attackers. They averted an incident in the United Kingdom in Leeds. They convicted a white supremacist of a planned terror attack on a pub in Cumbria that was going to have a pride event. And this guy, he's only 20 years old. He had gathered a machete, an axe, an air rifle, and ball-bearing gun, and he was building a bomb. And he told members of his neo-Nazi Facebook group that he was going to go murder some people at the pride event. He later claimed that, I just said that to impress my friends. But they found him with all this material.
Ridiculous.
So he has been convicted.
And hell has frozen over. We have good news from Russia. The Ministry of Health, which was asked to do this 20 years ago, has published new rules to allow people to change their gender identity on their papers. No surgery requirements, no doctor's note requirement, just declare yourself.
But I don't understand. If they're running the Republican National Committee now, why did they come out with their anti-trans statement this week?
The internet must be down.
Okay.
Between the countries.
All right, AIDS news.
Okay.
Hey, in San Francisco, in the spirit of harm reduction, the city's going to open injecting sites for drug users. It could mean a lot fewer dirty needles on the streets and save a lot of money, but it's privately funded to avoid liability. They're doing this in Canada, Australia, and some parts of Europe.
Have you seen this new Showtime series, The Trade?
No.
It's a limited series that's just, you know, depressing heroin and opioid use and the producers and the users and the dealers and the cops. And, it's just so. And I watched it thinking, you know, couldn't we legalize use in a controlled way that would save people's lives and get them into treatment and all of that?
Attention, opioid users on Medicaid. Trump is going to allow the states to impose work requirements. And now they want to also let the states limit the number of months that you can have access to Medicaid. I thought that they didn't believe in population control, but that will thin the herd.
In Florida, good news. Publix Supermarkets has reversed policy. We told you last week that they had been publicized as refusing to cover Truvada as PrEP for people who want to avoid HIV infection. Well, it turns out they had a rationale for that. And their rationale was, we don't cover preventive services.
That's not true.
Well, it's not true because they cover birth control. And
other things.
And other things.
Gym memberships.
Okay.
You know.
Well, that was their excuse. But after public pressure, after a lot of people complaining, They have reversed course, and they will cover Truvada as PrEP.
As we tape today, by the way, it is National Black HIV and AIDS Awareness Day, but we want every day to be National Black HIV and AIDS Awareness Day.
And on this day, we recognize and honor Phil Wilson, decades worth of activism on HIV, and the leader for the last 19 years of the Black AIDS Institute. He is retiring.
Oh,
after 19 years there, well-deserved retirement.
And Erasure has a new song about AIDS and ACT UP, and it's on YouTube. And if you are on our email list, you can go to write to me. Go to our website at gayusatv.org, and you get on our website, get on our email list, and we'll send you the link.
It's called Still It's Not Over.
Okay, entertainment.
Yes. All right. They're making a sequel to Fantastic Beasts. This one's called The Crimes of Grindelwald. This is, includes the early years of Dumbledore from the Harry Potter things. Jude Law
He's
is going to play him. Dumbledore has been described by J.K. Rowling as gay, but not in this movie. The director says, you know, not yet. Maybe in a later sequel. Really? Okay. Want to remind you that...
He's 152 years old. How much longer? I don't know how old he is.
Next Thursday, the 15th of February at 9:30 p.m., Nora Burns will be performing her very good one-woman show, David's Friend, about her friend David who died of AIDS,
yes.
At Joe's Pub
We've
here
seen
in
it.
New York.
It's a great show.
Really, really good.
For everybody.
Yep. Do you want to talk about John Mahoney?
Well, you know, John Mahoney, of course, you all know him from Frasier, and I remember him from House of Blue Leaves on Broadway. He's died at the age of 77. He was a great actor. He played gay in a movie called The Broken Hearts Club back in 2000. That's a still from that. But the obits are not dealing with his sexuality, but people who knew him in Chicago, where he was with Steppenwolf all these years, said, oh, yeah, he was gay. He had a partner for a while. Whenever he was asked in an interview, he deflected the question. Or he once said, I had an operation down there, and I can't do anything anyway, or something. I mean, so it was, I'm the co-host of Gay USA. I hadn't heard, but apparently, yes. And I just loved him as an actor.
Oh, sure. He was wonderful. And it wasn't just Frasier. It was a million different things. I'd see him pop up in a movie.
All the time.
Be happy to see him. But
he was in the Manhattan Project. He was always something playing tough guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, now on Netflix, the new updated version of Queer Eye, no longer Queer Eye for the straight guy, because they even make over a gay guy. And it's no longer in New York. It's in Atlanta now and other parts of Georgia. It's five guys. And they say one thing that's different is that in this version, now on Netflix, they talk about their lives, their own lives, in more depth than they ever did on the original.
And these are new people.
Oh, definitely new people. I thought the original cast was extremely charming because I haven't spent any time with the new cast. I haven't developed any affection for them yet. But if you want to see the new Queer Eye, it's available on Netflix. Also available on Netflix
don't have time.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We have a trailer.
Let's show the trailer from the new Queer Eye.
Are you ready?
The original show was fighting for tolerance. Our fight is for acceptance.
Let's do this.
I'm excited. Like, I don't know what to expect.
I'd like the Fab Five to help me get out of my comfort zone.
I think my dad is lonely.
I want her to be excited about the new me.
Remy is surviving, and I need him to start thriving.
How long does it take for this to accumulate?
Like, 2.5 minutes.
Whoa! There's a lot going on in here.
There's no way that that's acceptable anywhere other than... God, I don't even know where you'd wear that.
I want him to look at his diet and see the possibility of a different kind of life.
I want to give him space that he could entertain a potential lady friend.
It's okay to have confidence with yourself.
Ooh, yes, balance, yes, symmetry.
You got this. It's cool, it's young. You actually look 33.
I see the man that he is and the man that he's going to be. Bring out the best in you.
guys married?
I'm married for 5.
Are you the husband or the wife?
Let's break that down.
That is a misconception.
Yeah, let's unpack that.
We all got to come together in a way where we can understand each other.
You guys show me how good a life can be if I just cared.
All of this only works because you were ready for it.
Straight. The common thread that holds every human together is that we just want to be loved.
I want to see them go to the White House and take care of the whole staff, including the top guy.
And give Melania an exit plan. That would be fun.
They can consult with her.
No, they can spirit her, kidnap her out of there. Also on Netflix is the movie Princess Cid, which was a big hit this summer and got a lot of great reviews. And it's a teenage lesbian story. A 16-year-old girl, I think, goes to Chicago to visit her aunt, gets involved with a barista there. And I thought, my God, is this the mirror image of Call Me By Your Name? It's similar. I saw Call Me By Your Name. I hated it. I thought it was terrible.
Of course, I saw it under extreme circumstances where there was a lot of jackhammering from the building next door. This was in New York at a fancy theater. But we were warned beforehand. I know a lot of people loved it and were very moved by it and everything. I was kind of only moved by the father's speech.
Yes.
But I wouldn't want to give it away because most people haven't seen it.
I thought the
character... It's pretty. It's a pretty movie, but it's... I have a lot... these are supposed to be highly educated people.
Boring.
And they ought to have had more interesting conversations.
Not only were they uninteresting, but they were not likable. They were not appealing human beings, any of them. And, yes, the father's speech at the end is the one thing that redeemed it, but... Man, I was really appalled. And it has won all these awards and gotten all these nominations. And I really don't get it. I don't get how people could like it. But there may be some other movies coming up to like better. Mm-hmm. Go Magazine, which is a longstanding lesbian magazine, has published a list of 7 lesbian movies, major movies, coming out this year. And they sound fantastic. The first one we have a picture of is from Lizzie. Yeah, I got that. And it is the story of Lizzie Borden tried for killing her father and stepmother.
Lizzie Borden took an axe.
Well, they've decided that Lizzie Borden had a female lover. So this on the right is Chloe Sevigny as Lizzie, and on the left is Kristen Stewart as her lover. Man, is that going to be hot.
Well,
so
serial killers, not serial killers, but multiple killers.
Well, they killed more than one person, I guess. But I don't know how much of this is fantasy, but it's going to be a lovely fantasy for lesbians going to the movies.
Next.
Disobedience. Now, this takes place in an Orthodox community. It's an adaptation of a novel by the same name. But that's Rachel Weisz on the right,
I
think.
I didn't recognize her.
And Rachel McAdams as lovers in this movie. These are dreams come true for a lot of lesbian moviegoers. It became the talk of the Toronto International Film Festival for its mind-blowing sex scene, according to the Go magazine. But critics fell in love with everything the movie had to offer. And if that's not enough to increase your anticipation, says Go, Rachel Weisz even read lesbian literature to get ready for her role. Well, I think a little more than reading would have been appropriate. Then another one is The Miseducation of Cameron Post. We told you that this had just won the Dramatic Grand Jury Prize at Sundance. This is Chloe Grace Moretz on the left, caught during a sexual encounter with a girl on prom night, forced into gay conversion therapy.
Oh, right. Yes, this one.
Then there's some others. Vita in Virginia, about Virginia Woolf and Vita Sackville West.
I saw it on stage.
My Days of Mercy, Tell It to the Bees, and Bex. A full slate of lesbian movies coming out in 2018. We'll try to repeat them as they're issued and alert you to them. But you could go to Go Magazine their website and find the list of these seven lesbian movies for 2018.
And I am no longer a virgin. I saw Phantom of the Opera for the first time in 30 years.
And?
Sumptuous.
Okay. I guess that's a yes. We will see you next week.